Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs. Like your boss, still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best. So guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Take Command Podcast, Logan Paulson there in the cape. I'm Craig Hoffman. Yeah. Don't worry. He's not going to the ocean, not going to get eaten by a shark.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to do my best not to get eaten by a shark. But like you said, there's a little bit of shark activity. So just got to be smart. Smart about
ocean time. If you don't go in the ocean, then you can't get eaten by a shark. They're not coming on land to get you.
That is true. Yeah, that's a good point. They haven't evolved legs yet. So yeah. Good point.
Yet. All right, here's what we got today. We got a mailbag. Again, coming up later in the week are coach rankings for the NFC East. We'll do head coaches and then both coordinator spots for each team. Who's got the best and worst coaching staff in the division? But today, it's a mailbag. We have a ton of questions. Y'all have really stepped up on the questions front. We actually already have quite a few for next week as well that we're excited about. But we're going to start with this one from Watson. Watson sent us an email, Logan, and wanted to know about the development pipeline. He says, consistently, you hear that the best teams develop players. So who are the top 7 developmental prospects on Washington's roster? Thanks, Watson. First, let's define what we are going to mean by developmental prospects.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about it when you sent me this question. And I think the thing that comes to me is like guys that are going to develop into starters, like kind of irrespective of like draft position. And I think that's ultimately like what you're looking at with like the Eagles as a good example, like with Milton Williams, just as a point of comparison, like he's a third round pick that develops into a guy that, you know, is a priority free agent when he hits the market, when his contract's up. And I think that's kind of what you're looking at, something like that, someone that's going to contribute to the roster. You know, obviously Milton Williams is like maybe the extreme version of this question, but someone that's going to play starters minutes and someone that's going to like you feel good about on the roster. And so like there's guys like the first guy that comes to mind just as a starting point is like Brandon Coleman, I think is a perfect example. Like he's a guy with a ton of athletic potential, ton of upside, but he's got to figure out kind of his home on the offensive line and he's got to develop in terms of his production at guard, right? Which is a new position this year. So like he's a guy that to me feels like has an arc that gets him to a starting caliber player. And in some versions of the universe, like the multiverse, he's a kind of a Cosme-esque type player where he was an okay tackle, but he's an excellent guard because of the athleticism. And so to me, that feels like a perfect example of a developmental guy, you know, need some time with Coach Johnson to kind of develop his skill set, hone his skill set at that guard spot. But to me, that's someone that sticks out, a guy that athletically kind of meets all the criteria. And I think ultimately could settles on, you know, being a solid starter for your team, you know, hopefully this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah. I think the, you know, where this question gets interesting is like, what's your threshold for being a developmental player versus like, oh no, that guy doesn't count. He was drafted too high or is too good. Because like realistically, like Josh Connerly, I mean, here's number one.
I was going to say he'd be my next person, honestly.
He's your number one because he's your first round pick this year and you're hoping he develops into a starter. And even though he's got some flaws in his game, that's why you're drafted 29th, not 9th. But you know, even when you're ninth, you're got some flaws. You're a rookie in the NFL. But like, what's the threshold of quote unquote too developed or drafted too high to qualify for this question? I'll say the first guy that came to my mind was Johnny Newton. You know, they draft him. He misses his first offseason because of the foot stuff. He plays pretty well last year. But like, if they're going to get where they want to go, they need Newton to develop into a borderline star. Like they need him to be an impact player on that defensive line. That's why you draft him early in the second round. And with his skill set, like there is a high upside there. The penetrator who can really, really, really be disruptive versus kind of like a more anchor defensive line type is just super solid. So if he's a guy that develops into a star, then you've got one of your studs. You finally have a blue chip player on defense, which you haven't had in what feels like forever. Unless you want to count like Bobby coming in last year, you know, make second team all pro. So that's pretty darn good. But like a true blue chip guy that you develop in house. And so he's the first guy that honestly came to mind for me. I think Coleman's a great shout. Connerly, you know, is Sainer still already too far down his development path? Cause he played so much and so well last year to still be, you know, considered in that role. Obviously Trey Amos. But I feel like what a lot of people are looking for here, Logan, is like, is there a current backup, a lower round pick who you think can develop into a starter? So now we're looking at the Medranos of the world or some of the guys who were drafted later last year, Dominique Hampton, et cetera.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Jordan is another great example. Like you mentioned, I'm glad you brought him up because he's perfect for this kind of developmental arc, right? And, you know, we were talking about doing a segment for the show where we kind of review old draft picks, you know, and like, the 33rd team did one with Check the Mic, and it was interesting to kind of see like how injury or other things sideline guys' production. So I think Johnny's a great guy because the injury last year is really going to augment his developmental pattern for sure. In terms of backup guys, I think the first guy that jumps to mind to the forefront of mind for me is a guy like there's a couple guys, and I'm going to kind of list a couple off, and then we can talk about them. Jordan McGee, right?
Yeah, he's the first guy I was thinking of too, kind of in this realm.
He's interesting because, again, like I thought he did well in training camp last year, and I don't want to like extrapolate too much off of training camp, but when you talk to guys on the staff about him, like their eyes light up, right? So there's something there in terms of energy. Obviously, when you watch his stuff from Temple, like he was really good at Temple. Like he's physical, he's athletic, he kind of checks all these boxes that you want for like a modern linebacker. You know, like when I think about modern linebacker, it's Fred Warner, right? It's this guy that can cover, can get downhill, can play sideline to sideline. And there were shades of that when he played at Temple. Now he has this injury, kind of like Johnny did last year, and his developmental role or his package or the methodology they were going to use to develop him was kind of sidelined because they had packages for him, they had situations they want to use him. They're not able to do that, and so like now this year, does that process get started, and does he kind of get to show that he's the heir apparent to Bobby Wagner? You know, whenever Bobby chooses to walk away and leave this thing, like, is he the guy that's good enough to step in? So I think he's a really good example. Tyler Owens is one for me, more because of the athlete. And obviously, this anytime you see someone who plays well on special teams, he's a guy that I'm like, can you find a larger role for that body type? You know, he's 6'4", he's got 33-inch arms, he's fast. I think he like broke every like jump thing at the combine for his body weight. It was like something crazy, like a 12-foot broad jump or 11-8 broad jump, whatever it was. And, you know, he had a crazy vertical. It was like 41 inches. His numbers were insane. And you see him on teams, like the way he flashes the physicality, the physicality of him. But can he get some minutes on defense? Or is he just going to be a guy that's kind of a situational special teams guy for the rest of his career? Like, those are the questions that I think are really interesting with a guy like Tyler Orange, Jordan McGee. And then I'm trying to remember anybody else on defense.
I mean, you know, Hampton and Medrano would be the other two.
So Hampton and Medrano to me are in a different tier. And obviously they're developmental, like no doubt about it. But like because of the position switch for Hampton, like I feel like he's got a longer way to go. You know, Medrano, I think because he's a fifth round pick? You know, it becomes interesting to think about like what his role is in the defense. Like this year, for example, like can he find a Jordan McGee kind of role for himself where he's the big nickel and he's playing a lot of minutes and he finds ways to get on the field and you see a guy that has a trajectory that's going to be, impactful, maybe not this year to that extent, but like shows a if this guy gets more playing time, he's going to be a really valuable addition to this defense. So those guys are interesting for sure. I just think it's a little bit farther away than Jordan, because I think when you talk to the staff, like it's like right there for him. They want him to take that opportunity. And Tyler Owens too, like based on what he showed on teams last year. So if I had a tier of those guys, I'd say there's like an A tier and a B tier, but I think they're all, they kind of fall into this bucket. Cause you know, like with training camp, as you know, you've watched a bunch of training camps, like sometimes, you know, Dominic Hampton comes in and plays better than Jordan McGee. And then he's the guy that's got the package going into the season. And all of a sudden the developmental roles are a little bit different. But as of right now, which is, you know, pretty early in the summer still, I'd say the first guys I mentioned are like kind of that A tier developmental guy. And yeah. There's like a B tier developmental guy.
Majano's sixth round pick, by the
sixth
way.
Sixth round. Yeah. I wasn't sure. Fifth or sixth.
Pick 205. I think it's, I would almost say like the there's like a tier above that I was talking about first with guys like Johnny, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like,
well, Johnny Jerzon, and Brandon, right? Yeah.
Jerzon, Brandon, Mikey, like, I mean, Jaden. Like, Jaden, it feels crazy, but, like, he's still young. Like, every young player is a developing player. And if you want to rank in terms of importance, like, obviously there is no more important developmental player, if we have to come up with a list of seven, than Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels also played at a borderline MVP level last year. So, like, what does that, like, does he count? Does he qualify? The better he gets, the farther this team is going to go.
Well, that's really
interesting. I would kind of take him out of it. Like, because
that's what I'm saying is because he was so, because he's not developmental because you're relying on him so much. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to be good or you're terrible.
Like, he can still develop while also, but like, he doesn't have the leeway that the others do.
Correct.
But like, that's also part of the reason you took him second is because like, unlike, which nobody told the Bears, but unlike Caleb Williams, who is 21 years old and you're betting on the upside of what he can be. And that's why he was number one, because you're like, if we get this dude right, he could be one of the greatest we've ever seen. Like, that was the upside of Caleb. Jaden, obviously the upside was tremendously high, but he was also ready to go much quicker. Like, he, because Jaden was an older player, because he was more experienced, because of kind of who he is and the way he found success, he was a high floor, ready to go right now. We are going to be able to maximize. Like, Caleb Williams also might be really good when he's 23, 24 years old. It's not going to happen for another two seasons. Like, that's that's crazy. And so, you know, your best years become a little cheaper if you're the team, but you may not have as quite as long of a runway. Do you really care if your quarterback is only good for 10 to 12 years versus 12 to 15? Like, those are draft season questions we can answer next March. But I think, or hopefully never, and you know, we'll see if we're still doing this podcast in 10 years when Jaden is done and we care about quarterback drafting again. But I think Jaden, I think I'm comfortable taking Jaden out. I think for Mikey, he's probably the second closest to being like graduating from this. They are relying upon him, but this is his first year playing the nickel as a pro. Like, he trained there last year, then played mostly outside. And I think kind of everyone else is on the table, even the second rounders, even Amos, even Newton. I think like those guys are in a different tier because there is a level of relying upon them, but they are starting and they're huge question marks in terms of just how good they're going to be. And they need to develop from like, they're probably okay now into star level players if you want to have an excellent, excellent top five type of defense. And then you have kind of the more traditional developmental model of like, we're hoping these late round picks that are starting on special teams can turn into solid starters for us. We don't necessarily need them to become stars. And if one does, like, that is legitimately found gold in the same way that the 49ers had some found gold all over the roster, but especially a guy like Warner, who's a third round pick who turns into the defining linebacker of the decade.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because it kind of reminds me of like The Athletic. They do that thing on their podcast where it's like there's a blue chip guy, which is like generational difference making. And there's like red chip guys. And when you look at red chip guys, they're guys that like kind of make up the backbone of your roster. And like usually those guys are developmental pieces. Right. And so, you know, like let's just take the offensive line as an example, because I mentioned Brandon Coleman and you mentioned Josh Connerly. Like, usually on the offensive line, you invest a certain amount of draft capital. Like, I think Philly is a good model for this, and so is Detroit, right? You find Lane Johnson in the first round. You get Landon Dickerson in the second round. Like, you and the center, their new center who's taking over for Kelsey.
Cam Jurgens, yeah.
Yeah, he's a draft pick, right? Yeah. And then Tyler Steen's a second-round pick, right? But Tyler Steen has a developmental arc to him, right? You find Jordan Mailata late as a developmental prospect. So you look at this, you say, well, they traded for Laremy Tunsil, who's the guy, right? Brandon Coleman's moving a guard. He's a third-round pick. Like, he has to – for them to have a top 10 offensive line, like, he needs to develop, right? you know, you feel good about Biotish, and you look at Cosmi, what he's at, like these kind of cornerstone pieces in Tunsil, Biotish, and Cosmi. And then you need Connerly to take steps, man. Like right, I don't say right now, but in 2 years, he needs to be a serviceable starting right tackle. And I think, you know, one of the things we talked about in his draft profile was like, he's good. Like technically he's very good. Athletically he's very good, but there's still a developmental arc to his career that needs to be actualized in order for him to be a good starting caliber player, be a red chip starting caliber offensive lineman. So I think that's kind of what I look at. And like where I say, like for this roster to go from where it's at to, again, like a top 10 roster, you need to hit on Trey Amos. Like he needs to develop, like he needs to actualize all that athletic potential. You need to hit on Johnny, right? I'm borderline taking Mike Sanderson out of here, like you talked about, but those three guys to me are kind of like those big chess pieces that really need to take big steps moving forward. I'm going to throw Brandon Coleman in there also. So four chess pieces that need to step forward. And we haven't even talked about Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey in terms of draft pick. But in terms of like impactful, high-value positions, corner, offensive line, defensive tackle, especially with the defensive tackle market the way it is at the moment, like I think those are probably the four big ones. And then you kind of get into a debate about who's that tier two developmental prospect, who's the tier three developmental prospect, and why. But those, I know he wants seven, and we'll get to seven, but those four guys to me are really, really at the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and try to get to seven because – and let's take like, I don't know, two, three from each tier. So like most important of the, like, let's pick two, right? Of the top tier guys, we'll take Mikey out of it. We'll take Jaden out of it. Right. So of the next group, Johnny, we'll keep in there. Coleman and Connerly. Is there one? Is there
like
one
Amos,
more?
Amos,
and Amos, like,
yeah,
those would be the four. And then of the next group, I think McGee probably should make the list.
Yeah.
And like, this is kind of it, right? Like, this is why also you try to take, and I know they didn't this year because they traded for Tunsil and they traded for Debo and they had fewer draft picks. But like, if you can have a bunch of picks and you can go 50% on 10 guys versus 50% on five guys, then you wind up finding the red chip guys. You find up, you know, even below red chip, just like solid starters. Nevertheless, get more chances to get lucky on the blue chip. But if you can go 50% on that, I would say,
hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No, I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Man.
Well, I think Tyler Owens is interesting here too, because like you talked about and you brought this up, like after Will Harris is out or, you know, Quan Martin is out, like you're kind of like, who's the next guy? And so can he develop him and Percy Butler? I think Percy Butler is an interesting guy too. Like I like Percy.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a lot on the show, but like, can you develop into a guy where you're not worried about mental mistakes? You're getting the right fits. Like you're not a liability. You're not like, you know, clutching your pearls when that guy's in the game. And I think they're both physically capable of doing that, but for different reasons. Like they've kind of been these special team mavens, which is awesome. And you need those guys in your team. But if you can get them to take a step, right, just move from kind of that C range to that C plus B minus range, like that's a huge deal, you know, and can you be an impactful person for the roster? And I think they can. I think they can. And like when you hear like the staff talk about those guys, there is some excitement, but there is like to get that added safety depth, like to get the depth at linebacker, like those people have to develop. And, you know, we talked about Jordan McGee, but Dominique Hampton's also a guy like you'd like to have at least four dudes there that you could feel like could play, right? So is that Kane or is that Dominique? And we'll see what happens. But I think that's why I have kind of identified that safety spot because of the way you've characterized it. And then obviously linebacker, same thing. Like what happens if Bobby's hurt? Like who's going to play? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I put Jordan above Kane and Dominique, because like he is the Mike, like he's the heir apparent to Bobby Wagner. There's one other guy. I think, you know, we've kind of pushed tight end down, which is something we're actually going to talk about a little bit later too. Like Sennett was a second rounder, like him hitting would be really nice. But at the end of the day, he's also a tight end and there's a lot of really good tight ends coming out in the draft. If he winds up not, you know, we're not giving up on him, but if he winds up not turning out, they take another guy this year. Like it's long-term. I don't know how damaging that actually is. But I will say a guy that we haven't mentioned, and there are not a lot of seventh rounders, although I guess, you know, Owens is a UDFA, but like, if Bill hits, if Jacory Kroski-Merritt hits, to have a cheap running back for the next 3 years, like that's big time. Like that's a position you don't want to have to spend a ton of resources on, but you need to be really good. So I would say he's on my list probably. And then
I think Jean-Baptiste is another interesting one too.
That's a great call. That's a great call. If he can just become a solid, like they're going to have to find their stud edge eventually. Probably you would think, but if like he can just be a really solid guy that plays next to Newton and like helps Newton become a star and is like a supporting role. Who's like, yeah, he's a legit pass rush threat, but he sets a great edge and he plays really well in stunts and twists to let Newton, you know, be the guy who, you know, gets a little bit more penetration. I think that's a great list. I think if you go the four guys mentioned,
yeah,
McGee, Jean-Baptiste and Bill, and that still, I mean, all those other guys we mentioned are still really important, but we got to draw a line at seven somewhere.
Yeah. And I think the one that I just talking about the defensive line, one that I think is kind of maybe borderline that first tier, and we haven't talked about him at all, is Kinlaw. Like if he develops and takes a step from,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can a guy who just signed your most expensive free agent contract still be considered a developmental prospect?
And I think when you watch his film, he is, right? And I think that's the thing about him is like, in the same way that you're excited about Connerly, I'm excited about Kinlaw. And what I mean by that is like, I think the ceiling for Connerly is like a blue chip player, right? And I think the ceiling for Kinlaw is a blue chip player. Has he played that way? No. And I think when you watch the film, like you see, I've talked about the flashes a ton, right? But he's got to take a step, right? He's got to be more consistent. He's got to kind of go from the flash guy to the guy that is that red chip player. And I think you didn't pay him that way, in terms of like dollars and cents compared to some of these other big defensive tackle contracts. But I think he can do that. And so if he's here with Dan Quinn, Tapp and Kerrigan, and they can get him to take that step, like think about how devastating this defense would be when you had three dudes on the interior who can provide pass rush. And like when you look around the league and you see those teams with really solid interiors, like that's pretty dynamic. So he's a guy that I think, again, kind of is in that, you know, that list of four for me, is if he can take that step alongside Johnny Newton, like think about where this team could be like in terms of defensive projection.
My only question is like, you're 27. Is this just who you are? You're going to be inconsistent.
It's a great
point. Your highs are really high. And also when you're getting paid that much, even though it's not top of the market DT money, like you're still getting paid a pretty good amount. Can you still be considered developmental when it's like, no, we're kind of relying on you. Like to me, he's almost more in like the Jaden where it's like, nah, man, like you kind of need to play well. Otherwise we're up a creek.
I guess my question to you would be, and I don't think that's a bad point at all, would be like right now I could see him having some type of situational role. Like, hey, you're in on first, second down, but you're really our third down pass rush defensive tackle or whatever. Yeah. Right. But what if you become like a dude? Like what if you fit the system?
I mean, this should
really
be
his
prime.
Yeah.
So
so to me, that's where like that developmental arc for him is really interesting. Because right now there is a huge difference between him and Johnny, but I don't really in my mind when I watch the players on tape see a huge difference, right? Like, does that make sense what I'm saying? Like
it does. I think it's a great like discussion point. Like whether he ultimately like this is like, hey, you listen to the show because we have good, hopefully we try to have good, smart discussions that make you think a little bit about the game and the players and the things we're talking about. Not because of what the graphic looks like at the end. If we were to do like a Craig and Logan's top seven guys, if we were to put Kinlaw in there, people would be like, the hell is he doing in there? He just signed like a monster contract. But so I think for the graphic, if Evan's going to make a graphic, let's leave him off the graphic and save the Instagram comments. But for those of you that have actually listened and paid attention to the show, like your point is very, very well taken because there is a step for him. And if he can take it, oh my God, because Javon Kinlaw is one of the freakiest like athletes, which actually transitions nicely into our next question, but like one of the freakiest athletes we've seen in the NFL in a long time.
Yeah. So and I'm not sure. And you said Bill, I think that's another interesting one. Yeah. Like, can you kind of fill that role? But yeah, those are the guys that to me kind of jump out. Obviously, Luke and Ben. Luke, I think, becomes more important from a developmental standpoint if Noah Brown's hurt, really dinged up, and like he's going to have to play a lot of minutes right now. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But though those other ones seem like guys that A, are closer to taking that developmental step, and B, I think have the athletic upside to do it. I think that's why we kind of keyed in on those guys.
Yeah. It's hard to separate once you get past those like first and second round guys. Like who is like, I could easily make an argument for Luke over all these guys that we spent more time on. Yeah. But it's like kind of the ones that matter are the ones that hit. And then you just have to make up because that's kind of how the draft works. The farther down the draft order you go, the quote unquote less important it is because you can probably find a similar prospect next year. And if that guy hits, then you're fine. Also depends on the position and yada, yada. All right. I think people get it. Our audience is smart.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.